Congratulations!
You're listening to Congratulations Pine Tree, the Bay's number one arts and culture podcast.
Whoop whoop!
With me, Kate Rhodes.
And me, Maysoon.
That went too well. We never do it on the first try.
Don't fuck it up.
I can't continue now.
You're like, God damn it. We haven't done three takes yet.
All right. So as you know, this is the last. If you're listening to this on Sunday night or Monday morning, probably Monday morning, there's a little teensy weensy bit of time left for Wage, Working Artists in the Greater Economy, is having a fundraiser that we've been trying to get people to donate to for the past month plus.
Yeah.
And they're in their last little bit, and they're up to $40,000,
which
already. I take full credit for.
You should. I think you've been encouraging a lot of people.
I think I've encouraged about 8 people.
No.
And
really? Maybe.
Anyhow, Working Artists in the Greater Economy has a certification program that they're trying to get out there for nonprofit art institutions to standardize the fees that they pay to artists when they exhibit at museums, at biennials, at nonprofit institutions, places that can afford to be paying their artists, the people that make the content, that bring the viewers and the patrons into the fucking place that is not paying the motherfuckers. So they need to be paying them. I know somebody who has a show right now at a pretty, well-funded institution. Yeah. That had to make all new installations for the space and got absolutely nothing.
Yeah.
You know? And that needs to change. I'm not saying they need to get a yearly salary from the place for having a 1 month show there, but, if you're an artist, you need to fucking be getting paid. When you're making money for a place, they should be paying you. I think that goes without saying for any freelance worker.
I agree.
So, we got a couple salutes. I'm very excited about these salutes because Maysoon Boswa donated this week. Also, some other friends of the show / people's names that I recognize but don't actually know them personally. Nicholas Sung.
Yay, Nicholas Sung.
Everyone has a crush on him.
He directs.
I always have to say that whenever I talk about him.
NA Gallery in
I
East
hope that's
Bay.
Not objectifying. I'm sorry. Christine Wong Yap.
Yay, Christine. I love Christine.
Always the activist. Also, on that note, Sharon Hayes.
Cool.
Huge.
Very cool.
Supports Wage. Why would you not support it if Sharon Hayes does?
Exactly what I was thinking.
Boy Child, Heather Casiles, Francis Stark, Jennifer Moon, who was in the last LA Biennial, Amy Rathbone.
Yay, Amy.
Carrie Hott.
Awesome,
Carrie. Thank you so much, Carrie Hott. Alan McCollum, the extremely famous artist.
Cool.
Maysoon, once again, chewing on mic. Shannon Jackson, one of our big heroes from the UC Berkeley's
Artist
Arts
Research
Center. And Veronica Graham.
Go, Veronica!
If I have listed your name at any point on the podcast in relation to Wage and how you donated to it, we owe you whatever you want. I think about
probably just
maybe
a big
one,
hug,
of the, one or two of these people listen to the show, so you should know whatever you want. Do you want us to do an episode that's just us singing show tunes?
I could maybe bite your cuticle for you.
So this
Sorry.
Is your last shot to donate to Wage. I was thinking Maysoon, I love that we are able to use the podcast to support these causes like this.
Yep. Did you have another cause in mind?
I was thinking maybe after this Wage thing, we'll see if something else is going on and we could have a little dedication maybe at some point in every episode.
That sounds fine with me.
To somewhere. Okay, so the Art Research Center, the Arts Research Center at Berkeley, which is a think tank about art and social justice, architecture, performance, everything all wrapped up in one, and they do a lot of really great programming. They had a symposium on called Public Art Housing Publics, which was in response to Rick Lowe being a resident. He's been doing a residency with Berkeley for, I think, about a month.
With ARC or with the Berkeley Art Department or?
The Berkeley Art Department. I think ARC specifically. I think that's who got him there.
Mm-hmm.
And they had a panel. people from this place called the Eastside Cultural Center, which is on International Boulevard in East Oakland. Their names were Maisha Quint and Alana Serrano. Anyhow, they're doing amazing work, and they own the building that they're in. That was the main thing. That's was the process awesome. Of them getting the building, joining up with another group called SAHA, which is the Satellite Affordable Housing Associates.
Mm-hmm.
So they joined up with this group that creates low-income housing. So the top of the building is housing, and the bottom of the building is, I think, three. I'm not sure what the other two things are, but three different institutions. I don't know if the other ones are commercial spaces or what, but the cultural center is fucking amazing. It's run by a collective. Like, their charter is based on like these like 10 tenets of the Black Panthers.
You say we want freedom, we want power to determine the destiny of our Black community, full employment for our people. Number three, we want housing fit, decent housing fit for shelter of human beings. Number four, we want all Black men to be exempt from military service. Number five, we want decent education for our Black people in our community that teaches us the true nature of this decadent racist society, and to teach Black people and our young Black brothers and sisters their place in society, because if they don't know their place in society and in the world, they can't relate to anything else. Number six, we want an end to the robbery by the white racist businessmen of Black people and Black people in their communities. Number seven, we want an immediate end to police brutality and murder of Black people. Number eight, we want all Black men held in county, state, federal jails and prisons to be released because they have not had a fair trial, because they've been tried by all white juries, and that's just like being tried in Germany being a Jew. Number eight, we want Black people, number nine, when brought to trial, to be tried by members of their peers, and a peer being one who comes from the same economic, social, religious, historical, and racial background. If the United States government and the courts and the local courts did this, they would have to choose Black people from the Black community to sit up on the jury. They'd have to choose some of the mothers who've been working 20 years in Miss Ann's kitchen scrubbing floors like my mother done. They have to choose some of them hardworking fathers. They have to choose some of those brothers who stand on the block out there wondering where they're going to get a gig. They're going to have to choose these Black people. And number 10, he would say, let's just summarize it. We want housing, we want clothing, we want education, we want justice, and we want peace.
Our research assistant, Katie Kondo, helped us find that clip of Bobby Seale talking about Huey Newton's 10-point program of the Black Panther Party, which is what the Eastside Arts Alliance / the Eastside Cultural Center bases their program on. What I wrote down, one of their quotes was that Oakland is undergoing a violent gentrification campaign.
I think that's a good way to put it. I mean, it is violent. It is incredibly violent.
Especially actually. For communities like this, which, yeah. I mean, once they get priced out, they get priced out. It's not like they have anywhere else they can go that is going to have anything that's as affordable as where they're living now.
It's true.
So, and also another startling fact to me was that to keep up with the housing crisis in the Bay Area, there has to be 10,000 units per year created. Also, did you know that the median income in Alameda County, which is like Berkeley, Alameda, mm-hmm. Oakland, is $89,000 a year? Nobody fucking, I don't know anybody that makes that much money.
I don't know. I don't know anyone either, but I mean, that's, I don't understand that. It must be all Berkeley doing that.
I feel like that they should give you the mean, the median, and the mode.
Yeah.
Another thing that they brought up was the difference, and I thought this was really interesting, maybe we could talk about it, was the difference between having artists living in a community and community artists.
Uh-huh.
Because they were talking about like Uptown Oakland, which is now where Art Murmur happens, and there's all these galleries like Johansson Gallery and Crow's Work and Chandra Cerrito. Whatever was over there was housing, and now it's what it is.
Hmm. So I mean, it's not surprising.
And then we're bitching. I conclude myself. The white artists that came in from wherever are bitching about the tech people pushing us out. But, you know, I think it's just always interesting to think, like, wherever you are, who had to leave for you to be there?
Right.
So I just thought that was interesting. I think we talk a lot about artists having an obligation, you know, like the spirit of art throughout recent history, at least the 20th century, has often been to empower the voiceless.
Yeah.
And I think we have a responsibility to be aware of our community.
We definitely have a responsibility to be aware, and I think people are aware, but what's, I mean, what
the fuck are you doing?
What kind of, like, what's the next step? You know, like, how do you actively do something about it? You know, like, implicate, I mean, even though you have to, I mean, understanding that you're a part of the situation, part of the issue or part of the situation, you're not just, like, the victim. You, maybe, sure. I don't, you know, me. But just sort of trying to understand what to do, I think, can be the place where we all get a little bit stuck. Like, what do we do
for I think the that's community? The thing. I don't know. So just support these places in your neighborhood.
Are they supported through Oakland, through the city?
They did. They got some government funding, at least.
But they're not like a city.
No. They do. They have funding from all different places, including one place called the Community Loan Fund, which is basically like a bank that gives small loans to nonprofit organizations and provides them with, like, counseling about the real estate, the commercial real estate.
All of our listeners are going to go try to get money from the Community Loan Fund.
Well, if you have a nonprofit that you think is worthy of money to help yourself, like, buy the space that your nonprofit is in. Well, fucking point is, during the Reagan era, they decided to stop actually funding housing. Like, the government was like, fuck housing. That's not a human right anymore. And we're just going to allow corporations to have tax credits if they themselves build affordable housing. And that is bullshit. I don't know. Anyhow, that got me fired up. So I just think, as an artist, it's a good thing to think about. How are you being a part of your community and not just an artist in the community?
Right.
So maybe this could be our weekly challenge. And then if you want to text in, tell us what you think about that.
Yeah, go ahead, text.
Oh, maybe you think we're full of shit and we shouldn't even be talking about this shit because we're fucking bastards.
But we definitely want to hear from you if you think that, actually.
Yes.
So go ahead.
So call in or text in. We did get one text this week at 419-351-6606. And I don't know if you know this, but on our little Blogspot site where you probably found this podcast, you can leave comments. Maysoon isn't a supporter of that, but
I don't like comments.
She can't stop you. So go ahead and do it. Let us know what you think about any of this stuff. These are the conversations that we want to be starting. We did get one text this week from Jenny Ottinger.
Yep.
She identified herself, so I think it's safe to say that it was
from
her.
I think it's probably fine.
And pretty much her main comment was that she's fine with you swearing.
Was that? No, she said something else.
She said she would like to be on the show as our mom correspondent.
Oh, right.
Our mother advisor, she said.
Our mother. That's what the mother advisor came from.
She said, Maysoon, you don't swear too much. That feedback I offer in my new role as mother advisor. We got I was at the Southern Exposure show on Friday night, and I had a few listeners come up and say that they liked the show.
Except for
I wish
when
you
would
have been
chewing.
There, Maymay. Nobody at the show mentioned your chewing.
Oh, so it wasn't anyone at the show. Who was it?
Secret person I'm never going to reveal. Thank you, listeners. You're very sweet. I don't know why you don't call in. I asked you in person why you don't call in. I didn't hear any really good excuses.
So this week, I was talking to a friend of mine over at Mills College campus.
Thrills College.
And we were talking about sort of what makes an artist successful, or what do artists think success means, basically. And I think my friend kind of not caught me off guard, but I was saying, oh, one of the grad students had a show or had been showing. And I was just saying how I think it's really important and great that students or grad students or show before they graduate. You know, it's like that they get involved in the community and in, you know, try to show whatever they can whenever they can.
In the art community.
Huh? Within the arts community, yeah. And just I thought that was great and sort of a good, I think, I can't remember exactly how I phrased it, but I might have said something like, you know, I think that's really good for like their success as artists, you know. And then my friend got really, really, really clearly upset and defensive and was just like, well, who's to say that that makes an artist successful, that showing makes you successful? And so we kind of like not had it out, but I was like, clearly this is something that's very sensitive, a topic that's very sensitive to you. You know, I'm not trying to like offend, you know?
Right.
So then we like continued having a conversation, but we didn't. We sort of stopped because she requested that we stopped the conversation because she was already having like a little bit of a bad day. And so I think it was like her mood and that very sensitive topic together that was sort of like, actually, let's not. So I was like, okay. But then I thought it'd be something that would be interesting to talk about.
Most of the artists I know, no matter how successful, like if you're whatever, if you've had a museum show, if you've had a solo show, if you have gallery representation, yeah, everybody feels like they're not doing enough.
Yeah.
There's always some kind of guilt that you're not in the studio enough, you're not showing enough, you're not networking or whatever enough. Like everybody always feels like they're a little bit illegitimate.
Yeah.
And that's, I think, why you always have this like super, super highly competitive field where people are just scrambling for whatever legitimization they can get.
Yeah.
So I think it is. I totally understand and relate to somebody feeling sensitive,
yeah,
about kind of having this like measurement or standard for success that,
right,
maybe they don't feel like is how they measure their own success.
Okay. This is going to sound like an asshole question and you can go ahead and attack me for it. That's
okay.
Fine.
Love to.
But like, to some degree, it's like, what the fuck is the point of grad school? I mean, why are you like actively going into major debt unless you want to be successful and want to go have art shows and have be like a public in the public eye, you know? Like I don't know. I mean, why would you choose that if you actually don't want to do that or
I feel like
do,
that's kind of a argument though of like, why go to college unless you're planning on making a shit ton of money? Like college now costs like
but
however.
I think that's
insane.
What people, I think that is why people go.
That's not why you went to college.
No, I went to college because I wanted to go to college.
And you wanted to learn and you wanted to become,
yeah,
a more cultured, educated person.
Yeah, but I also didn't go into major debt for it.
I think people still go to college for that reason. You just have a lot more debt now.
But I guess I'm thinking like the MFA in particular. I feel like people usually go when, maybe not when they're older, but maybe they've had some time to think about what they want to do with that degree or with that field of study. I don't know.
So
it
why get your MFA if you don't plan on making plenty of money to pay back that, like, whatever,
I don't
$40,000, $80,000, $100,000 student loan?
It seems like people, well, I mean, I don't know. I guess I know people who went to get their MFA because they wanted to get back into their art practice, more deeply engage in their art practice, be challenged, be pushed, but also because they wanted... sort of like the next step up as far as like where they were showing. Like they felt like they were not able to get shows in other institutions or more established institutions because they didn't have their MFA. So it's also like a strategic plan for them to be able to show and to be able to, whether or not they're making money, I don't necessarily think money is success, but I do think, I don't weigh money as a success item, but maybe showing in certain institutions, like you have a goal maybe to show.
Yeah, that's part of it too. Like even if you are having shows, like that doesn't equal money.
Right. No.
So
no.
Then
I mean
what does the
wage
debt have to do with it?
I guess that to me that has to be like a huge part of the decision making.
I don't know. I think people get their MFA for all kinds of reasons.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, clearly.
And I think, you know, your plans can change. Like maybe you were thinking that you were really interested in showing all the time and maybe that's not a priority anymore.
Yeah.
I don't know. I just understand an artist. Anytime it's less sensitive. Artists are sensitive sometimes. Artists are emotional weirdos. So
we all are.
Right.
Welcome to the fucking world, people. The hell.
How do you measure your success?
Me? I don't. I try
no,
to,
not you.
I try not to
listener.
Fucking think about it. Is what I try to fucking do.
I'm sure you have something to say, listener. 419-351-6606.
success.
Oh, I feel like I'm going to get an earful this week.
There's a lot, man. You're okay. Let's talk to the listener. You're going to be fine. Okay.
Yeah.
You know, just make a schedule, take your goals, break them out down into smaller micro goals, and you're going to be okay. This is all doable.
What if you don't have any goals?
You know what?
What if you don't want any goals? I mean,
how do you fucking get up in the morning if you don't have any goals at all?
Okay, so maybe that's it. What if your goals are misdirected?
Like how? Give an example.
Like you work full time as an administrator of something. And
I don't know anybody like that.
I don't know. I mean, you work full time. You're trying to juggle 15 million things. And, you know,
you live in like the most inflated housing market
right,
in the world.
And your art practice isn't, for some reason, rising to the top as a priority on your list of things to fucking do. Then what? But then you're upset that you're not.
That's fine. No, I think we should say right now, if anybody listening is in this situation, you're fine. You're fine.
But what should they
do? If you're not making art, if you're not showing, you don't have to fucking feel guilty about that.
Oh, no, I don't think so.
That's totally fine. You never have to feel guilty for anything you're fucking doing or not doing unless you're fucking oppressing people, which you are. But...
Hence
this is my double contradictory attitude. But I'm just saying, like, I know plenty of artists. I know people that just got their MFAs that haven't made any work since they graduated because they're just scrambling to, like, whatever, get a job, pay rent, like,
yeah.
You know, make it up to whoever, you know, they're whatever is going on with them.
I know.
I know people that haven't made art in years because they've kind of, you know, left the game.
Because
kinda,
what? Okay.
You know, because they kind of moved on and weren't able to keep up a practice. And they don't need to feel bad about that.
Yeah. No, no, I don't think that. I definitely don't want anyone to feel bad.
I know artists that are in their studio every day and still don't feel like they're doing enough.
Yeah.
So I just feel like whatever track you're on, you're fucking fine. You're still a human being and you deserve respect.
Maybe that. I mean, I think I often struggle with the idea of success. This is sort of like a, I don't know, success and ambition. And it kind of it annoys me that we all have to be so ambitious. I'm like, can't we just fucking come home and relax on the couch? Like, isn't that okay? Is that okay?
It is.
I feel like there is a lot of pressure to be successful, air
right.
quotes, you know, or to be really ambitious and have all these things going on. Like when you see someone, oh, how's it going? What's going on? You know, and you're sort of like,
where are you showing?
Or that for you. How's it going? What are you up to? It's sort of like if you don't have an answer that says I'm up to these five cool things, you
right.
kind of feel like an asshole.
Exactly.
Let's
all agree right now. Let's
great.
Stop. Let's stop right now.
Stop asking
this
people
is
what they're
the
doing.
Other
just
thing.
Shut
For
up.
For the next week, don't ask anyone about their career situation,
yeah.
their fucking art situation. Look them in the eye. Give them a hug while staring them deep in the eye.
And what will we say to them?
And you say,
hey, good to see you.
I'm so glad to see you.
Yeah. What do you think of the tree outside?
God bless these fucking trees.
I love trees.
That's what you fucking do.
I kind of love that. Let's
And you meet your neighbor. Do you know the names and faces of your neighbors? Do that. That's the real fucking measure of success.
You know, I feel like when I do run into artists that I haven't seen in a while, oftentimes I do ask them what they have, like what do they have coming up?
What are
up.
You working on? Are you making any new work?
Yeah, but it's because I feel like I'm supposed to ask them that.
No.
I'm supposed to acknowledge them as an artist in the community. And
let them bring it up.
Yeah. And you so know? Now I'm guilty of that. Like just thinking about it, I'm like, God, that's putting a lot of pressure on someone.
As an artist, I feel like I get that constantly.
Right. I'm going to stop asking artists. If you want to tell me what you're doing, just tell me. I'm not going to ask anymore.
Or you could just you could just say, hey, how are you? I feel like is enough. I don't know. I feel like even like artists are so conditioned. At least like this genre
question,
of artist,
even,
of
like,
the
even
like
how
academic
are you
artist
question is still kind of like implying, what are you doing? What's interesting that you want to tell me? You know?
Can I get a copy of your CV? Do you have
yeah,
a fresh
exactly.
one on you?
And that, yeah, don't you think?
Totally. I feel also that
you?
Artists are so conditioned now for people to be like, what are you working on? What's new?
Yeah.
You've been in
Give
the
me
studio?
Your one liner now.
Like, so now I feel like I say it sometimes even when not asked.
You're like, hello, I'm Kate Rhodes. This is what I'm doing.
Here's my CV. I have it tattooed on my back. It's really hard to update. Okay, another art topic for the artists listening to this show. Opening anxiety. I know I talked about this in the last episode. What are the things we do at openings? I know a lot of artists that get so tense at openings that they just drink. That they just get totally drunk. And I don't drink. So don't ask me out for a drink. But I don't drink. So the only way I can deal with my anxiety is to be very, very outgoing.
Uh-huh.
Touch people a lot.
Oh,
and
God.
Then when I go home, I corner my girlfriend and re-explain the entire night to her step by step 17 times in a row.
Oh my God, how does she deal with you?
Until finally, at first she's like, Kate, it's okay. Like, you didn't offend anyone. That's my thing. It's like, I offended people. No one likes me anymore. I burned every bridge. And I have to re-explain to her why this is. And then finally, after like the 38th time where I'm just saying the exact same thing to her again, like, oh my God, well, I told so-and-so that this thing happened and then I forgot their name and like, and then she's like, Kate, shut up.
Good. So you need that. You need that for some reason.
Okay. You got tips?
No.
You got no tips for that?
Not really. I mean, chill the fuck out. Take a fucking Xanax before you go. You can't do that. Don't go. Don't go to your opening.
Gotta go. I actually really enjoy it.
Right. But I also think you secretly enjoy the crazy neurotic.
No, I don't. It's painful.
Too.
I hate it.
Oh.
Well, not like right now. I'm fine. It's like silly, whatever. People can get a laugh out of my mental problems.
Right. I think, first of all, everyone experiences that at openings. I didn't even go to the opening. I was like, there's going to be too many people.
Ew,
I can't stand
it.
I just can't stand it anymore. I love people and I love you guys, you listeners. But boy...
Oh, you can hardly move in there. You can't see
anything. Openings at Southern Exposure in particular, and it's great for the organization because they've got so much attention. But honestly, I just can't do it anymore. I just don't care about thousands of people in my face.
Right.
Or just not even in my face, but that I have to like be in physical contact with because I'm trying to get through some show to see work. Anyhow, I don't know. The opening anxiety, I don't know. Can you prepare? Can you say, okay, these are the things... These are the three topics I'm going to have at the ready, you know?
No, I mean, talking to people, it's really not a problem at the opening. Like, I feel like I'm pretty personable. I feel pretty friendly. Right. I'm really happy to talk to people, especially like most of these people that talk to me are people I know and am friends with.
Right. So why you get so wound up?
The only thing is like when you're talking to, this is what happens. When you're talking to one person.
Stop touching them too. God damn it.
I am touching every person. And then somebody else comes who I also know, and they're like, Kate, hey. And then I have to kind of truncate conversation than the first conversation.
Do you know so and so?
Well, no, I tried to do that a lot this last time.
Yeah, uh-huh.
It was a lot harder to kind of integrate groups. Do you have any awkward stories? Have you ever been awkward with another human being?
I have definitely done what you've done, where I've literally up and left a situation. I'm like, and I can't stand being here. I gotta go. I've also have been so weirdly uncomfortable at openings where I work. I'll go into the office and just hang out there for a few minutes and try to collect myself. Like, why? What's wrong with me? What's going on? Why do you hate being here right now? What's happening?
See, this is refreshing.
You know, oh, no. Yeah. I don't know if everyone feels that way, but I do have some anxiety around openings and having to be on in that particular way and have something clever to say to every single fucking person who walks through the door. It's like, I don't know. That's hard. It's hard. Sometimes you're in the mood for it and sometimes you're really not. Sometimes you're stressed out because of other things that are going on and you really don't feel like chatting with a million people.
Yeah.
And so you retreat to your office and close the door. You're like, I am not available right now. I'm taking a 5-minute break from all of you.
And that's okay.
I think it's okay.
Let's let the listener know it's
okay. I do that. You can do that too. Kate does it.
Speaking of gentrification, there's a cat cafe. No, this is actually really great. So I went this week to the cat cafe called Cat Town, which just opened on Broadway in Oakland. And it's pretty much an adoption center that also has a coffee shop attached to it. That's really what it is.
That's all it is. I thought they were, is that the one that opened in Oakland that was supposed to be
just
like
opened? It's not really like all the things that you
we've
see
seen
in
online.
Japan.
Yeah, where it's literally like
you have your fucking you're like cappuccino in, and a cat on your shoulder.
Yeah.
No, it's not like that.
I think they should do that. Were there cat? Wait, so
no,
were there
the
cats?
The whole thing about this is it's all about the cats. Like, their first priority is keeping the cats comfortable. Okay, let me just tell you a couple of the rules before you go into the cat enclosure.
Okay.
Okay, number one, let the cats come to you. Okay, sanitize your hands, take a seat, and be patient. Okay? They're all about the cats. I think if you do anything a little bit weird with these cats, they're going to kick your ass out of
there.
It's
like the SPCA. They're intensive.
It is. I think that's actually where they get the cats from. And then you can adopt the cats. That's the thing, is they're mainly trying to get people to adopt the cats.
Right.
You can get a $38 cup of coffee while you wait for your appointment. You have to make a reservation. So let the cats come to you. Be gentle. Mm-hmm. Use inside voices.
Oh, God, I hate that
cats
term
cats eat
so
cat
much.
Food. People eat people food. Don't give the cats people food. Let sleeping cats lie. Children 12 and under must be accompanied by an adult.
And hold on to those frickin' hands.
And pictures are encouraged, but without flash. And I think there were about three cats in there. There's like hardly any cats.
Were they walking around or were they in cages?
Yeah, some were kind of. No. It's a little, very cute little area with chairs for the people and a million fucking weird little cat habitats. Like, yeah. There was one shaped like a bridge and like very artisanal. So it was very cute. We didn't have a reservation, so we couldn't actually touch any of the fucking cats.
Wouldn't it be cool to carpet a wall for a cat?
Totally.
Oh my God, Pickles would freak out. She'd be climbing that shit like crazy. We live in an apartment where there's a light well between our apartment and the next apartment. It's a, you know, the building is four units, two commercial units downstairs, two residential units upstairs, and the residential units are separated by a light well. So that means that our windows are kind of close to one another. Our window and our neighbor's window are very close to one another. You can basically open the window and like shake their hand. It's like right there. And at one point, Jimbo was in one of the rooms with one of our cats, Pickles, and the window was open a little bit.
Jimbo's your partner.
Jimbo's my partner. And Pickles was meowing into the window, and then the neighbor opened her window, and she was like kind of talking to the cat through the window, which was weird. and then she asked Jimbo, she's like, oh, can I play with your cat? And Jimbo's like, I think he was a little bit confused, but he ultimately said, okay, sure. And he opened our window and passed Pickles through our window.
Over like a 20-foot drop.
No, there's no drop. Through the light well, like just a few feet, into her window. And then she like had Pickles in her room in the window or through in their apartment for a little while. And then returned Pickles. And then Jim and I talked about it later that night. I was like, yeah, don't ever do that again.
Okay, UC Berkeley had a big issue this last week because they voted to go forward
the
with
Board
their
of
tuition
Regents
hike.
Voted to go forward on a 29% tuition hike in the next 5 years. And the fucking students, rightfully so, are in outrage and protesting.
Yep. It's supposed to be a public institution, but UC Berkeley is only 14% publicly funded. So the students started a kind of a little occupation of Wheeler Hall out there.
Yeah. What are they going to do, man? Berkeley, I mean, not Berkeley, but the UC system, I kind of want the students to all just leave. You know, literally, like, not go to school. Like, break down the system.
And the professors.
And the professors need to as well. And the staff.
Yep.
I'm sure the staff aren't getting paid that well. The Board of Regents sure are.
We all need to be fucking walking out on our fucking broken institutions.
You're right. Good point. I do. I need to. Adjunct.
There's the adjunct unions. You know, I would love to also have somebody on the show to talk to them about that.
Okay.
This is a high five. You got to look at the elbow. Is that good enough? We're shitty at high fives. Got clam hands. Okay. Point is, next week we're going to talk about the shows that are up right now at Yerba Buena, which includes Alien She, Landscape, the Virtual, the Actual, the Possible. And also, Lucy Raven has a piece up. And so, we'll be talking about that next week. Go to the show and you'll know what we're talking about visually.
And the Oakland Art Museum. Oakland Museum of California.
Has a show up about art in the history of the Bay Area. Yay.
Congratulations.
You've listened to another episode of Congratulations, Pine Tree. I hope you got through this one. We love you, listeners.
Kill a CEO. Slap him up and shake him up and then you know. Let him off the float and bait him with the dough. You can do it funk or do it disco. Yeah, disco. 5 million ways to kill a CEO. Slap him up and shake him up and then you know. Let him off the float and bait him with the dough. You can do it funk or do it disco. Yeah, disco. I'm justified it, it was worth your waiting. On the turf debating how to get it percolating. He working you while we happy just to work a day. But I'ma slap him to my blood.